Blog Talk Radio.
Cyndi Lauper, and then we're going to go to Cows with Guns. I mean, you know. Anyway, it all sort of fits really with the sort of loopiness that is the Wonders of Frogs, which is today's theme. And frogs being, you know, an interesting sort of characteristic and environmentally very aligned to where the planet is, Hatter. And so I welcome my co-host, Hatter. How are you, Hatter?
I'm fine, thank you, AP.
Excellent. And I have to welcome also the queen of a team of voices, the chief, the person that we all report to and get our report cards from and stamped. That is Deborah Lee. Hello, Deb. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Excellent. No, I'm well. I'm well. And I was sort of thinking we could get all those report cards very efficiently done. My youngest, who's still at school and is doing her final sort of couple of years over the space of 3 years, I see her mathematics results every single period. Her teacher does a test every single period without fail and then sends the results out to all the parents, which is kind of funky and kind of strange at the same time. Anyways, we could do that for radio hosting. Yeah, we could do sort of immediate feedback stuff, I'm sure. But anyway, in the absence of that, we'll just keep on going on. And tonight, we have frogs. Now, Hatter, I'm sure there were frogs in the Suez Canal. We were talking about this last week. I'm sure there are frogs in the Suez Canal, and they were probably watching as that bloody great big ship that was stuck for a week and a half got freed.
They lined up and gave a big, big, mighty heave.
I think they were putting their paws together and giving it a round of applause. Got free. Apparently, all the backlog has now got through the canal, which is pretty impressive. So that's only after less than a week that they've cleared that backlog. However, you'll be glad to know that there are at least 20 different pieces on the internet talking about legal liability and who's going to pay. And so the ships are all moving, but the lawyers are just starting to talk about who pays the money, which is pretty much par for the course, really.
It's going to get ugly.
Oh, it's going to get very ugly, Hatter. It's going to be worse than a swamp full of frogs, really. It's going to get nasty. And those insurance contracts can be very, very difficult to work your way through. A good example, a good example of that is that one of the businesses I'm with actually got held to ransom. We woke up one Monday and 200 odd computers had a message on there saying that if you send us X amount of Bitcoin, then we'll give you the license to your computer back. And we were rapidly told that that, of course, was rubbish because they wouldn't. So we then had to go back, and it took us about 3 weeks to actually find where they got into the systems and to restore all the computers and get back to up and running again. And we didn't pay a cent, but I'm sure many people do. But, it took us about 3 weeks. We were offline for 3 weeks. That wasn't a lot of fun. But the team managed it pretty well. Anyway, it has nothing to do with frogs, Hatter. Absolutely nothing to do with frogs. I was talking a little bit with Frank on Lady O's show, and Australia does have frogs. It has everyday sort of brown and green sort of frogs that are pretty boring. They make a lot of noise, but they're pretty boring. Down in the south, but then up in the north, it has a beautiful array of frogs. You know, it's got as nice of frogs as anywhere in the world. So I thought I'd kick the show off with a poem from the north of Australia, and this is from the Northern Territory. I don't talk about the Northern Territory much, but what happens in Kakadu National Park is that it's a tidal park, and so it basically has the waters come hundreds of miles into the country, and then it's got small trees and rushes, and it all becomes sort of like one great big swamp, really. And so you've got a whole heap of birds and a whole heap of frogs, and wherever you've got a whole heap of birds and a whole heap of frogs, then, being Australia, you have a whole heap of snakes as well. So this is within Kakadu by me. It goes a little bit like this. A tuft sprout by tidal marshes, about where sea scraggy trees leap. Water rushes, swirl of curves, twirls to seep. Heave skies flushed in orange, comets line up for the hand of Mars. Seconds later into ink, in a dream carpet teams of stars. Rippling base upon oily motion, turgid gurgle within deep grey bogs. Places lost upon disdain, croaks beguile in miles of frogs. Rustle of reeds to sway of winds, birds gather towards swarming teas. Deftly slither sleek taipans, elegantly slide, well inside sleeves. End poem.
Now, where is that picture?
That's right up the north, of Australia, in the centre. That's the Northern Territory. So, you know, right up close. Lots of birds.
I was playing catch up, so let me catch up on the thing here.
No, it's all good. It's all good.
You know what I've got? What I noticed was the prettier the picture, the more dangerous the landscape could be.
You're learning better, absolutely. Yeah. The nicer it looks, the more critters there are that can kill you. This is true. Yep, absolutely right. Deb, what did you think of this one?
I thought there was gorgeous visuals in this one, the colors and everything. In saltwater washes, swirls of curves, twirls to sweep, sort of a tongue twister there, rippling bass
like
upon oily motion, turgid gurgle in deep gray bogs. And of course, a pond is in there, places lost upon disdain. Sadly, so much of the loss of animals and habitat we can attribute to disdain, loss in these places. And then at the end, rustle of reeds to sway on wings, birds gather towards swarming teas. That's such a gorgeous picture right there. I'm picturing the wings in the air. And I do agree that the more gorgeous it is, the more deadly it can be. But they say that about chicks sometimes too. Just saying.
Yeah. No. Indeed. But no, 280 different varieties of birds in Kakadu National Park, and it's a sort of stop by for a lot of different birds in the Asian region. They come down to Kakadu and then go back to their sort of homelands once they it gets a little cooler. But it's a beautiful place. It really is, and it's worth reflecting upon. As I said, the beauty actually in that part of the world of frogs compared to down here. We just have these little green and sort of brown frogs, a tiny part of the world, whereas up in the Northern Territory, they're just beautiful. There's always the sound of frogs. I think frogs' sound is quite distinctive, and it's just really noisy with frogs up there. So there you go. I thought it was a good place to start.
Sounds like a
such a gorgeous sight when all those wings are gone crazy.
Yeah. Just as I said, a really nice starting point, and just some, you know, I'm going to copy and paste the link to the frogs of the Northern Territory, just so that you get a sense of them. Now, how do you have a poem on the board?
I do. I ran across an unknown author about frogs.
Yes.
It's pretty clever. If you want to go ahead, my eyes are sort of messed up. You want to go ahead and read it?
Do you want me to read it for you, Hannah?
Yes, please.
Okay, cool. Okay, so this is an anonymously British poet, and this is Frogs by Unknown, and it goes a little bit like this. What a wonderful bird the frog are. When he stands, he sits almost. When he hops, he fly almost. He ain't got no sense, hardly. He ain't got no tail, hardly, either. And he sits. He sits on what he ain't got most. End poem. That's kind of fun.
It is.
It sort of reminds me of something that Milligan would write. You know, there's something
exactly.
Quite elegantly English about that sort of piece. Yeah. And you can tell it's English too, by the way, but just by the use of the language.
Yeah. Does that full circle thing?
Yeah, it does. It does.
I was trying to think of who it reminded me of, and I think you're right. I think it was that Spike Mulligan.
I think so. Yeah, I think so. Because it sort of has a sort of musicalness. So. What did you think of that anonymous piece?
It truly is an anonymous piece, Hatter. You didn't, like, you weren't trying to be funny?
No, that's true. Somebody else wrote it.
Oh, cool. No, I just thought it was awesome, and then it got, you know, Frogs by Unknown. I didn't get it at first, and then when it got to Anonymous British, I was like, oh, wait a minute. But it is cool. It's a teeny little brevity, but it didn't seem to need much more than that. What a wonderful bird the frog are. That made me laugh a little. When he hop, he fly almost. So it's got a silliness. It's very cute. And isn't it a bummer when you find things by Anonymous? Because I would hope that if somebody stumbles across something of mine later, that they knew it was mine. I don't understand making something and signing it anonymous or not signing it at all. Take your credit. Clever find, Hatter.
It does remind me, Hatter, quite explicitly of a poem by Spike Milligan. And so I'm going to put that up on the board because I think it's worth reflecting on. Yeah, it's not about frogs. Right? I just want you to know that. It's not about frogs. But it is about little beasties. And so it's just up on the board now. It's not very long. But it's about an ant. And it goes like this. Said a tiny ant to the elephant, "Mind how you tread in this clearing." But alas, cruel fate. She was crushed by the weight of an elephant, hard of hearing, in poem.
But Lynn reached out and grabbed me. Wrong.
I like it very much. I like the ant and the elephant. I like the elephant that doesn't have any hearing. I think there's something about that that appeals to me greatly. And just a bit of a shout-out to Sweet Pea, who I believe is going to hop along and get us a poem linked, but she cannot join us because she is on grandson duty. So, Sweet, enjoy grandson duty. It's good fun. So we will leave you with your hoppity little one. And I should say, Hatter, too, that I had the hoppity pair last night of my kids out for dinner, and we did, for the first time ever for my 15-year-old, we did teppanyaki. And so she'd never done teppanyaki before, and I have to say she loved the heck out of it. So I suspect we'll be doing teppanyaki again. And she ate roughly half of what I was served because I kept on giving it to her because it got to the point where I was completely full. You know, I can only eat so much. And she just put food away as if there was no tomorrow. It was really quite remarkable. she had a lot
awesome,
of time.
Like a young metabolism. What the heck is it?
Oh, and she was smiling and laughing, and they were doing all the, you know, the egg tricks where they were throwing the egg into the air for you to catch in your mouth, and you know, doing the multiple bowl catch trick and all this stuff.
Oh,
and
really?
It was interactive, Hatter. Huge amounts of fun and you know, showing all the knife skills and then throwing the fake egg at Ava, which I caught, of course, because that's what I do with cricketing reflexes. But no, we all got a chance to do the six bowl stack bowls, and you have to catch them in each other, and then the final one has a whole stack of egg rice in it. So if you don't get that right, then you know all about it. But we all did catch it, so that's good news, even Ava. And it has nothing to do with frogs. We didn't even have frogs. I mean, I guess you could have frogs, teppanyaki, but we didn't. You could have frog legs, teppanyaki, but we didn't. They're just about every other meat under the sun, but we had no frogs. So that's good news if you're a frog. But no, it was great fun. She was laughing her head off, which is always nice. So.
What do they call frog legs? What is it?
Now, that's a good question. I'm sure the French have a name for them, Hatter, because
that's where you tend to
get frog legs. I have had frog legs in Paris, and they're sort of, there's not a lot of them, and they're sort of a little bit chickeny, but there's not, you need a bloody big frog to get a decent amount of leg, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So I guess they have special places where they go and, you know, harvest frogs, I guess. But, you know, it's all news to me. And they probably speak French anyway, so I couldn't understand them. That's a very cute picture, Deb, the cow with curlers. It's very cute. It sort of reminds me a little bit of one that Sweet has on her picture, but she doesn't have curlers. And
she has that one that Hatter gave her, and this one is just showing us all how she keeps it, her hair so in style. She puts rollers in there. I put them up there to make Sweet laugh.
No, it's very good. I mean, if you're a frog, you don't need curlers because you don't have hair. I mean, it saves on haircuts.
This is true.
You know, you don't actually, if you're a frog, you don't have to go to a barbershop or whatever. And it's interesting, as a result of 12 months of lockdown, I now cut my hair. I never did that before, but I do now. But if you're a frog, you don't need to do that. You just sort of rock up. And there's no hair to put in curlers, and there's no hair to cut, really. So it makes it very easy.
Are you trying to say you were a hippie for a while?
No. I was actually cutting my hair every week to keep it sort of under control. It's easier to sort of keep it trimmed than it is to leave it for a while, I found. And that worked a lot better than me attempting to have a beard, which was a complete and utter waste of time. So I tried, but it was a complete and utter waste of time. Not very froggy of us. Hatter, did you have a go at a froggy poem this week?
I did. I had 2 weeks to do it. I should hope I could get something. On a note, today was World Party Day.
Did that help?
It was what?
World Party Day.
Oh, okay. I'm not going to tell you what I thought you said because this is a PG-13 show.
No.
I'm glad that word was world.
Yeah, that's it. World.
Hey, I got a bad joke for you.
Uh-oh. Yeah, go for it, Hatter.
A photon walked into a hotel and told the clerk he wanted to get a room. The clerk turned to him and said, okay, do you have any luggage? And the photon says, no, I'm traveling light. traveling
light. Scientific pun there, Hatter. I like that.
Yeah.
I'm kind of fond of that. Yeah, I give you that one. I think that's got some style, Hatter.
That was from our Professor Tyson. I was watching one of his videos and called that dumb joke.
Well, we have some new opportunities for jokes, Hatter, just on that particular line, because for the first time scientists have found X-rays coming from Uranus. Quite why there would be X-rays coming from Uranus has got me beaten, but they are, they're there. So, it brought people to say, if there are X-rays coming out of Uranus, it makes the planet look like a 1980s album cover. About that for a tick. Anyway, that was what they were saying, and so they have no idea why there are X-rays coming out of or blasting out of the planet Uranus. They just know that there are X-rays there, which is kind of strange. I mean, it would make more sense if there were frogs there, but we haven't found that yet.
Okay, I fetched it.
You posted? Okay, hold on.
Yep, it's right there.
Frogs. Let me refresh then. It is. It's called frogs. Now, did you want me to read it, Hatter?
I'll try reading it. Yeah, I'll try.
You want to try reading it? Okay. All right, that's cool. Let's go for it.
It's called frogs. Watching clouds gather in a valley of toads, waiting for the rains of bitter cold. The storms are written in poetic verse, wrapped in satin and oversized curse. A wizard that knew the words by heart, reciting lines that were torn apart. Rivers and streams, whimpers and screams, the storms of a thousand-year squall. Princes and thieves, you must drop to your knees or say you don't know them at all. Where are the frogs gone? That fills the memories. Where are all the hop toads, asked my sweet Deb and me. Tales of raining lizards cursed from the skies, cats and dogs fell easily, and no one's asking why. The curse from times of ballads and rhymes, no toads were ever named. Fear the storms when tomorrow warns, nothing remains the same. And where are the bees, the butterflies, the frogs, the toads, and the salamanders? Were they considered collateral damage due to progress, or did greed strangle them from existence?
Yes. Well, because their skin is so open, Hatter, in the case of all of those critters, my sense is that you get you get things that are more sensitive, perhaps than other species, and I just wonder whether there's something in that as you rock your way through the poem there. Deb, what did you think of Hatter and his frogs?
Well, for one, I was excited to be in the poem.
Yes, you are. Oh, yes, I noticed that.
That was pretty cool. And I like the questions. I like that you ended it with where's the bees and the butterflies and all. But your lyrical flow is always spot on too, Hatter. Like the storms are within is poetic verse, wrapped in satin and oversized curse, a wizard that knew the words by heart, reciting lines that were torn apart. So even you're in it, AP, our wizard. So I like that you put us in here. I like it all together. I think that it came out great, and I think that 5 hours ago your muse was cooking with gas.
I had this one about pretty much all the way done from last week.
Okay.
So I really didn't write anything. I found one, and I posted it. So thank you, though.
Yeah, I had the collab sitting around all week, but I finished my frog one either last night or I finished my own frog one today.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Well, we'll get to that very shortly. I just posted a sort of Chinese sort of alien-looking frog. So they come in all shapes and sizes.
I know Skye's going to stop by, but she's probably trying to finish up her show.
So, well, if that's the case, then Deb, we might get your poem up on the board and have a chat about that, and then when Skye's there, we'll do the collab. What do you think?
Works for me.
Excellent.
Are you froggy poem? Okay, let's see here. That is, and I just learned this when I researched. I had no idea that we had discovered a new species in New Jersey until this. So, anyhow,
really?
Yeah. So let me put this up here, and that is. Okay, and I couldn't help myself. The little button at the bottom in my author's notes, you could push play and actually see one swimming. But the little tiny is Kermit the Frog singing the green song. Anyway.
Ah, I love the word.
Okay, this is called Meet the Leopard Frog in a new program for the new species. Here we go. Found in pooled bodies of water like ponds, frogs wander into the waterways to colonize, dwelling with the fish, snakes, and invertebrates, eating the moths, snails, slugs, worms, and flies. Larvae eat algae, plant tissue, and organic debris, and deep freezes the aquatic frog can hibernate. Wetlands dwindle from the builders and pollution, then reptiles and amphibians lose spaces to mate. Lily pads float, but tadpoles do not swim in the stream. And if out walking on the riverbanks, we see no frogs, just the moss coating the river rocks with fuzzy green. By the reeds and swamp grass and broken cedar logs. As a little girl, my eye spied the frogs all around, hopping in the mud puddles on the wet ground. Today, my eyes do not spot the hop toads in the rain. It's as if they just skipped town on a passenger train. But now leopard toads dwell in South Jersey swamps, in ditches and river floodplains and on the roadsides, too. Reeds and swamp grass line the edges of moist meadows. Now people see them hop from the coastal vegetation into view due to the amphibian crossing project. And poem.
The amphibian crossing project. That's really cool. I like that a lot, Deb.
Yeah, and there's information on them underneath the little video of the frog swimming. Made a major study in protecting the frogs, toads, and salamanders migrating for breeding areas. And we're launching a new program this year to better document the newly discovered Mid-Atlantic Coast leopard frog. So,
cool.
And if you, I mean, the spots, it really does look kind of like a leopard. So it's a really cool species, and it's nice to see them trying to make a comeback. And it's even nicer to see that New Jersey's, you know, doing something for them.
Supporting it.
So awesome.
Yeah.
And it's down, it's not
yeah,
that
no,
far
no,
from me.
A...
It's down here in the shore area.
Yeah, right. Well, that's a really cool poem and an even cooler story, really, Deb, in terms of what's going on to support a species to, you know, make a comeback and to you know, to deliberately do stuff so that it's around for the next decades to come, I think is really, really cool.
Me too. Thank you.
Hatta,
this was
Hatta,
a,
what did you think of this one?
This is a new species you didn't know you had around there?
Mm-hmm. New discovery. I think, you know, that's incredible all on its own. That I think I saw that they had them in New York as well. But I'm looking to see... Science, a biologist, and the amphibian crossing has made major strides in protecting the frogs, toads. I put that already. It established a partnership with New Jersey's Endangered Non-Game Species Program in 2002. It has been organizing with dedicated volunteers each spring to chauffeur migrating amphibians across the roads as they trek from their upland
wow.
hibernation, which I really did wonder about frogs. I guess I never really thought about them being something that hibernated, and they don't really, burrow themselves into mud or anything. They just go to the bottom of the creeks before they freeze up, and then they go into a mild hibernation state until
right.
the water thaws, which is pretty
That's
fascinating.
Kind of fun.
Yeah, and I, like I said, it's been going on since 2002, and I've been curious about frogs, but obviously never enough to look it up, or I would have known about this. But again, I say I think it's pretty awesome that they're doing it here. You're always used to people talking about the exit on the turnpike and the jokes about
yeah.
swimming with the fishies and, you know, always negative about New Jersey. So it's always nice to stumble across things that we're doing that's
that
fantastic.
And optimistic. And,
yeah.
yeah.
So it's, like, really, really, really cool.
I think that's a really cool poem, but as I said, an even cooler concept of the fact that we're out there looking after these frogs and that we're looking after them so actively that we've actually helping them cross roads. I mean, it's really kind of funky. So,
yeah, you know, and it's... The thing is, a lot of times there's so much shore traffic, and then you got the. I'm sorry if I insult somebody. I'm meaning to, so that's fine with me. Because we got the sickos who intentionally try to squash them. You know, 2 points, and I find that they're doing it down here by the state park I live by as well. Except it's the turtles, and
yeah, wow.
they're. Them. And there are signs everywhere that say turtle crossing. How much of a
yes.
hurry do you have to be in that you can't just wait a second or get your butt out of the car and move them over or go around them?
Oh.
But no, you creeps
exactly.
that just squish
yeah.
them. So
really, very
the
sad, but
highways and it's not just pollution and building, it's also highways and vehicles with
yes.
creeps behind the wheel. Just saying.
Yeah. Well, there you go. You called it. Now, certainly not a creep. We have a person waiting for us on the line. Hello and welcome to 440. How are you?
Hello,
Stephen.
Stephen, or I might be.
Hello, Stephen. How are you?
No, I'm all right. How are you doing?
You're not a creep.
No, we said you definitely weren't. So there you go. That was in my introduction, Stephen, in case you missed it. Now, Stephen, you are going to probably be on a time frame, I'm thinking, because you often are at this time of night.
Yes, unfortunately, I am.
So, that being the case, we better actually go and grab your piece that you've placed on the board, which is appropriately titled, I Still Feel Terrible. So I'm going to go and put that on the board now for you. And did you like my alien frog, Stephen? I thought that was kind of fun.
It did,
there you go.
Doesn't look like a frog.
It is now on the board.
Yeah,
yes,
not
thank
real.
You very much. I did put a humorous gif at the top of George trying to push a Frogger game across the road and not being very successful. But this is actually based on a true story, and it sounds like it was something you guys were just talking about. So how about that?
It does.
And I do still feel terrible. I definitely still feel terrible to this day. And it goes like this. Raindrops pouring from ebon night sky. Rubber scantily meeting asphalt, hydroplaning over puddles like a skiff in a swamp down Audubon by the lake. Water shimmering off blacktop, halogen gases illuminate the way to death. Thousands migrating to the lakeshore, hopping over solid yellow lines and each other. Speed and distance mandate no halt or slow. Teeth grit, stomach acid churns to the sound of popping corn as dozens of watertight amphibious skins explode. And boom.
Couldn't have timed it better, Stephen. That's exactly where we were. There you go. So where was this little to do, Stephen? Was this near you on a road?
Yeah, it was the town I grew up in, the little harbor town I grew up in. There's two roads to get out of town, and one of them we always called the Audubon because there was speed limit signs on it at all. And as teenagers, we used to try to see how fast we could get on the straightaway before we had to slow down for the next turn. And I was going pretty fast, clipping down, and it was raining. And the next thing I saw in the headlights were just thousands of frogs crossing the road. And I was like, oh,
wow.
There's no way I could stay.
Yep, you're committed. You're committed.
Yep.
Hatter, what did you have to say about... I still feel terrible. Great gift, by the way, at the top.
Yeah, we had a similar situation here in California on Interstate 80, which goes coast to coast, down by the University of Davis. They found in some of the agricultural land where the freeway is elevated that they had blocked off the mating grounds of some frog, some spotted frog, and. Mm. $3 billion later, they had little tunnels.
Wow.
Now, it's quite the big environmental thing. And then they found out that it wasn't really needed, this debacle.
Oh, really?
But anytime you go down and you see the road full of, a lot of times you just run it up on it, you don't know what they are, frogs or grasshoppers or more frogs.
Yeah, that's what I said too.
They can be quite dangerous, particularly when you're trying to stop or something like that. So, now Stephen, you often want to promote one of your shows too. So, is there something that you'd like to say about upcoming productions on your radio network?
The next show, Put a Slice of Life, is The Mortuary of Shadows on Monday at a special time because my work has me scheduled to get up at 5 a.m. every morning this week. So the show will be at 8 p.m. Eastern rather than 11:30 p.m. Eastern. Mm-hmm. So 8 p.m. Mortuary of Shadows, Open Dark Poetry.
There you go, Open Dark Poetry. Excellent, thank you. Now, Deb, Stephen, have you got 2-3 minutes to listen to the collab before you disappear.
You bet I do.
No, I get up. Deb, did you want to put the collab up for this week? I think it's officially number 40, and read that for us while Stephen's still here.
Absolutely, and yeah, it is officially number 40. That's unbelievable. I feel like we just started doing them. And Stephen, I'm looking at your poem, and I am thinking before you even got to the video machine on the side, it looked like a scene from like Real Life Frogger. So that had me cracking up. But I feel terrible too, because I do realize sometimes you can't pull over, you can't stop, you're on a busy highway and splat. But there's a big difference between having absolutely no choice and then feeling really bad, or running them over for sport and keeping points. Just saying. So cool.
That's it. No.
I agree with that.
Okay, now let's do the collab. All right, I'm bringing it over right now. And where did the room go? Why does that always happen? By the way, that's a really, really cool but freaky, scary sculpture there. Just saying.
You like that?
Yeah,
it's wicked. I wouldn't want to run into him because he looks sort of like like the aliens from the movie, Sigourney Weaver, Alien.
Alien frog. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Really cool.
There you go.
Okay, so is Blind Collaboration number 40, and the title is At the Concert on the Beach, Three Seagulls Screech. Here we go. And notice that it's free verse, even though I was set up with a rhyming poem. So.
You were.
Here we go. I tried to be red, but your blues got in the way. Now the escalators are scrolling to groans, with the teeth of painted lips pressed as the tour buses wait for the fans. People gathered around to sustain the G for sound that echoes through the deep from speakers thrown far out of the shown. By Greyhounds and RVs so complex, they hold the notes as they stay afloat. Upon pink curls to streamers soon bend, they stain upon painted lips, then appear, sinking the ships, and no one seems to care, and a seagull is passing by the beach. Beautiful black keys are the poetic soliloquy, sea shanties there to heave today. Tried like the windstorm heading for land, on cue a tractor is waiting its turn. Beware the stairway that feeds the clouds as those tunes continue to burn. Now days of summer, pines behind clouds to shelter within just a shot away. Toto has stretched to Africa's reach, leaving nothing to see but blind poetry and the picture that gave it hope while Top Gun flies low over crowds.
What number did this one get?
Huh?
Did this one get a number?
Eight.
Out of ten.
Eight.
An eight.
It's eight even. Scored a two on Concrete versus Abstract, so that was pretty cool.
That is cool.
And I just used a few conjunctions in this one. Other than the title, there's not really much me in here. And I even, didn't I restrain from finding a place to fit Periwinkle? Yeah, I did. I left it out.
You restrained.
But yep. I'm just so excited that there's been 40. 40.
That is a number. Stephen, did you want to say a few words about Blind Collaboration number 40?
Yeah, I like this. The picture's interesting. I need to blow it up and get a better look at it.
I agree with you.
I start to get a little blurry and I start to see double. But the words brought so many different images to my mind, from anywhere from a Jimmy Buffett concert to the Stephen King story. You know, they got a hell of a band. And then at the end, you bring in Toto. And it's probably Hatter that brought in Toto. But it just it made me think about, brought me back to my youth, because I remember seeing Toto in concert in 1988. Oh, my God. But anyway, yeah, this is really cool.
And just FYI, it was AP that brought in Toto and the Rains in Africa. That's
okay.
how and think they are sometimes, that you might even think that one wrote, and I'm sure AP noticed, but one of the lines in there that were Hatter's, Hatter used a pawn, so you're rubbing off on each other.
And I had all of the culture references, Stephen. So I had Top Gun, I had Toto, I had The Seagull from Days of Summer, and even a little bit of Rolling Stones. Shelter Within is just a shot away.
And Hatter played on the lips. So it's just like, no, there's a bazillion things in there, and you still
homed
in on enough.
It's a great image.
That
yeah,
you
I
blend
really like
it.
The
image.
I know what Stephen was saying. He was talking about my bad jokes.
Your bad joke?
I was wondering there were so many vampires written in Europe through the ages, and how you fight them is holy water. And I was wondering why there was no vampires written from Africa. Then it dawned on me that they blessed the rain down in Africa.
It was a long joke, but it was nice getting there. It was worth the fangs, Hatter. It was very nice. I thought that came together pretty well, Deb. I'm surprised you went against the rhyme. I thought very well, but I was surprised you did that. But worked very well.
Well, I was going to say that to you. I tried not to, because it was already ready rhyme for me. But without breaking it up the way I did, I couldn't quite tie the lines together, and I was getting a little bit frustrated.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, I'm thinking, okay, they don't all have to rhyme. Let's just try making it cohesive. And when I was done, I stopped trying to force the rhyme and went with it. But if you guys look in the author's notes, you'll see that AP was so inspired that he just wrote a brevity, three stanzas, I think it was. And then Hatter,
it
I just threaded you thing. Into the stanzas, and even that way, you still pulled in enough things between the two of you to tie it together. You always do.
I really like the image, Deb. I just sort of, as Stephen said, there's a lot of different themes there, and it just sort of wrote itself. I love it when that happens. So. Just a really quick response. So, you know, I think I stared at it for 5 minutes and the poem came out about 10 minutes later, which is the way it should work for me, if it's working well. Anyway, Stephen, we should probably let you go, since you do have a very, very nasty sort of timed week ahead of you. But thank you for dropping past and for saying hello and for being with us for the collab.
Of course.
But
thank you very much for
being
here.
The good news to go with that time restraint, though, is that he got a promotion at work. Congrats again, Stephen.
Thanks, Deb.
We like promotions. We like promotions at work. Well done. But thank you for your contribution, Stephen, and for your froggy piece, and we will catch you next week for another theme, of which I don't know what it is yet, but we'll work it out. I do know
lightning.
What it is. Hatter, I do know what it is.
Lightning.
You told me. Hatter, what is that theme for next
lightning.
Week?
Lightning. As in thunder.
Lightning.
I'll see what I can do.
Thunder and lightning. As in fire and rain and all that stuff. Thank you again, Stephen. Yeah.
Have a great Easter, Stephen.
Happy Easter, everybody. Take care.
Thank you.
So.
And Howard, did you know that in Australia, instead of the Easter Bunny, it's a little thing called a bilby, and he's got this like long nose, and he's kind of cute, and they have chocolate bilbies because I had to find something to send AP for Easter.
Oh, no, I did not.
Chocolate bilbies, not chocolate.
So I found a poster or a picture of a happy Easter bilby with the Australian flag.
Yeah.
So. There you go.
Remember that rabbits here are a pest, Deb. Rabbits here are a pest. They were introduced in the 1920s for, you know, old stupid people to go and blow them away with guns. And instead of that happening, they infested countryside. Infested the countryside, literally. And so
now my thing is they must be extra smart in Australia, because you've got, 6 million and three species of snakes down there that should be dining on them.
Yeah.
And I guess they just breed so fast they can't keep up, but...
That's exactly right.
I guess that would be kind of like in America, making it a happy Easter rat. So I understand that why you don't use the Easter bunny, but it just seemed kind of funny.
Yeah, very nice. Yeah, I like that. Like that a lot. I did a poem years ago in Australia, Deb. And we had a contest which was called R.I.P. the Easter Bunny, which must have been about this time of year, about 4 years ago. And so I might put that up on the board just because it is completely appropriate to what you were talking about. And it goes like this. This is experienced and fail-safe up on the board now. Rabbits not in Australia until a sport of the well-heeled. Imported to hunt was a failure, midgen shredding many a field. Stupidity plus gunfire, a bedfellow's atrocious. Scientific thinking let inspire, spread of disease, myxomatosis. Guns, candy or poison, he just needs a little luck. A penchant for burrow action, knock him down quick as a fucking punk.
Come on, ask.
Subtle. And rhymes myxomatosis, which is quite exciting if you're a rhyming poet, Pater.
Right. Did you read this on the show?
No. Oh, yeah, I've read it before. I've read it before. Promise I've read it before. I really like that.
Okay,
because
I think
very Australian.
That must have been what was in my head that set me looking for specifically an off... Because, usually you can just grab a Happy Easter and send it to someone, but something in my mind was wait, don't send a Happy Easter bunny.
Don't send a rabbit.
Because you read
it
before.
Send a rabbit. Yep. That is a classic Australian piece of humour. Rabbit in burrow, tongue in cheek, sort of poem. Classic.
Yeah, that's
Australian
a male rabbit with a buck. Male rabbit with a buck.
Yes. So anyway, I'm just saying it is a classic sort of piece of Australian poetry in my head. Anyway.
It sort of puts me in the mind of that song where she swallowed the spider to catch the fly. I don't know why she swallowed the fly. Perhaps she'll die. Some of the stupid things we do.
No, I'm all the way.
It's kind of what it made me think about.
Anyway, now we do have Sweet Pea's poem up on the board, and we have Gerald Green. So I think we might do Gerald's first, Deb, and I'm going to put that up on the board, then go to the SoundCloud, and we will then do...
Sounds like a plan.
Bear with me. Bear with me. I'll just go and find if I can... Oh, my computer is doing here. It's being very Yeah, okay. So here we go. So it's now up on the board. We've got camping with Cuban tree frogs is on the board. And I'm going back to the studio now so that I can play Gerald's SoundCloud, which he always very helpfully gives us. So let us play that.
Yeah, and imagine being at the Gulf of Mexico and still recording us poetry. That's dedication.
I know. He just keeps on keeping on. So anyway, this is Gerald with frogs.
Camping with Cuban tree frogs, written and read by Gerald Green. When crawling out of bed several years ago, I noticed movement on the pre-dawn darkened floor. Flipped on a light, grabbed a shoe, and attacked the invading tree frog as I would a rattlesnake. When the battle ended, I flung him out the door with a dustpan of victory. The following night, I awakened upon hearing a large raindrop fall on my blanket. I swept my hand across the material and felt nothing. Sleep failed to return, and my attentiveness was rewarded when the cold, clammy frog leaped and landed on my cheek. On my cheek! I smacked, bellowed, and leaped out of bed, shouting, "Frog!" My wife screamed in sympathy and followed as if on fire. With trusty sandal in hand, I searched in vain until the silent predator flew past my nose, aiming for my wife, now cowering at the other end of the tent camper in a fetal position. I swatted and missed. He landed on the side of the counter. I swung again, but he jumped before the shoe struck, but landed inside the small wastebasket next to my wife's unprotected leg. Quick hands grabbed the lining, tied both ends, and two naked campers breathed a sigh of relief. At 3:30 the next morning, a plastic cup fell onto the floor. There he was, spread-eagled on the wall above the sink. I captured him in a ball and flung him out the door, but could tell by looking into his eyes it was the same frog. Our pop-up camper was missing some elastic loops that secure the outside cover to the frame, allowing easy entry for cold-blooded creatures. So I went to the store and purchased large rubber bands. The following night, I closed the camper door with a victorious flare, declaring to any frogs that might be listening in the Everglades, "Now we can rest in peace." Oops, did I really use those words? And poem.
Well, I don't think we had straight out humor from Gerald before, but that one was right up there, I thought, the cheek, and leapt out of bed shouting frog. It was a bit, sort of reminded me of the Star Trek sort of shouting sort of episode that we had a little while ago, Hatter. But I thought that was very cute. Deb, what did you think of Gerald's Cuban tree frog? Hello, Deb.
Talking to the mute button. Sorry. I am blown away by the humor in this. I was laughing a couple times. I would open the mic and then put it back down again because I was laughing. But I'm, you know, back towards the beginning, I flung him out the door with a dustpan of victory. The dustpan of victory.
Yep.
How brilliant. I wish I wrote that. You know, I'm wondering if this is a true story, but he just, and if it wasn't, wow, talk about pulling this out of nowhere and being brilliant at it. But if it was, I can't even imagine. Frog! I don't really have a problem with frogs. The reason that I, you know, always saw them around as a child is because we used to get such a kick out of, you know, catching them and stuff. And that was fun. But even as a child who would play with them, I don't think I would want them to be in my bed or on me while I was trying to sleep. So it just all the way around, and it landed on the cheek. Okay, land on my arm, my leg, my lap, but don't land on my face. So, like, all the way around, beginning to end, between the giggles and the imagery and the story, and then the faux pas at the end. Oops, did I really use those words? Now, you don't really want to rest in peace. You just want to sleep tight and don't let the bed bugs bite. Just saying. Brilliant.
No problem. No, I agree. No, great. Great story. Very, very well told. Hatter, what did you think of Gerald's piece?
Oh, just like Oliver, they're very clever. You know, war with the night frogs. Yeah, you know, go to war with the night frogs, saddles in hand, swinging to the fence. Victory. That's what I smiled at the dustpan. Victory. That was cool.
It was cool. It was cool. It was very funny, too. We have a caller. Hello and welcome, 506. How are you this evening?
Lady A.
Hello, Lady A. How are you?
Thanks, and you? I'm just going to
try to I am well.
I think my phone is going to die again. Oh, dear. I might lose you. I'll call you back if I do.
Okie dokie, no problems at all. We are, of course, talking frogs tonight, Lady A. Wonderful subject that they are. And we are talking lightning next week, just so that you've got the sort of forward view for next week. So frogs and then lightning.
Frogs and lightning. I've got one on frogs, one I wrote a while ago, though.
Well, that's okay. They can be old frog poems. They don't have to be brand new frog poems. That's fine.
Perfect. Did you want me to read it now, or you got stuff going on?
Why not, Lady A? Why not strike while the jump is hot, so to speak?
Okay, I'll put it in the room here for you.
Thank you.
I was quite sleepy. I'm just waking up again. It's 1 in the morning here.
Oh my goodness! Wow. Well, you're allowed to be sleepy if that. It's not even. It's not even just past 2 o'clock in the afternoon here.
Oh wow. Okay, here I'm going to put it in the room for you.
Perfect. And Hatter, it's good to note. There is an issue with princes and frogs. Lady A, we're in your hands.
Okay. So this
was pretty weird. Hatter just got... Did you see what he put on the board, Lady A? Why don't people
like
frogs?
I think it went really nicely, actually.
And then you have a poem
but
about
anyway, Lady A,
frogs.
Go forth and we'll see if that joke actually makes sense. But Lady A, we're in your hands.
Perfect. Okay, thank you. It's called What's One More Frog in a Pond of So Many? Pretty princess pouted. Ever falling in love, she doubted. Many have pursued this damsel. She rode horses, they on camels. Promising the moon and stars, they bought gifts of cigars. No diamond gems, rubies, or pearls. A body odor made her hair curl. What poor impressions her suitors wore sneakers, not shoes. No pearly whites, but blackened decay, disheartened, I must say. Manners none, slobbers, gulps, swilling, slurping orange pulp. Not to mention flatulence, everyone's stinky experience. Defeated at the lily pond, she sits, contemplates, thinks. Why and how to simply be happy. Many offer solutions sappy. Frog appeared, pledged he'd morph into a man if she kissed him. Naive, she believed him, and she awakened with herpetic lesions.
That'll teach you. Don't touch those frogs, Lady A. You know, that just goes to show what happens when you trust them. Talking frogs, you know, you just end up with herpetic lesions. Hatter, did you want to say a few words about Lady A's piece?
That would be warts, right?
No, they're like whole sores, herpetic lesions, so it's like herpes simplex 1 or 2.
Right.
That'll take.
Call them warts.
No, you call them cold sores.
Cold sores.
Okay.
We
well,
call
just try to be happy, huh?
I'm sorry?
In my family, we call them fever blisters.
Yes, fever blisters, yeah.
Okay. Yep, 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 yep.
When you live in a swamp, what are you getting? Slobbering, cold sores, slurping. Live in a swamp.
I guess
the frog did it.
Frogs, yeah. An awful lot of them.
Frog hearts.
There you go. Thank you, Hatter. Deb, did you want to say a few words about kissing frogs and the impacts thereof?
Yeah, I like the inner rhyme and stuff that's here. I like promising the moon and stars. They brought gifts of cigars, no diamond gems. Cigars. Hope there was something good in there. Where the manners, none, slobbers, gulps, swilling, slurping, orange, pulp. Aside from the awesome alliteration there, it's like, ew. And then defeated at the lily pond, she sits, contemplates, thinks, why and how to simply be happy. The frog appeared, pledged she'd morph into a man if she kissed him. Naive, she believed him, awakening with herpetic lesions. Like, you really villainized that poor little frog. And it leads me to a thought. You know, everyone's always joking around. It's a fairy tale thing. You kiss the prince, he turns into a frog. But there's that frog that has psychedelic properties, and if you lick it, apparently, you know, you have you go on a journey. I want to know who the first moron was that licked that frog.
Yeah,
find out.
Really, eh?
You know,
had to be
like,
a double dare, double dog dare.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. And what kind of a friend dares you? I mean, many frogs let off a mild toxin, and so it's probably just its toxin. And I don't know. It's like the people that the first people that I'm all over the place tonight. The first people that scooped up the poop to make a cup of coffee for that really expensive coffee that some critter eats the coffee beans and then poops out, and then they collect the poop and okay. And I have another track here, which I don't know what it's called. I can't remember. But it also, I just learned by accident, because for some reason when I was looking up information for the frog, I stumbled on a shot from Google Space of the largest beaver dam in the world, which, of course, is up there in Canada. And then, their beaver den and dam is so big that it can be seen from the satellites in space. Now, that's some dedication.
Wow.
And if those beavers, if that dam busts, I wouldn't be surprised if it flooded Canada. Just saying. But while I was reading that, I found out that you can get paid $60 per turd if you want to go and collect their poo, because they soak in vinegar and use byproducts to make perfume. And if that's not gross enough for you at the thought of squirting a little bit of beaver poop behind your ear, imagine that it's also used in vanilla flavoring. Ah! And I don't know how all those subjects just came out, but there you go.
Well, isn't most perfume combined with horse urine? It seems to me, or pregnant mares that they use perfume.
Okay.
I think that's deer.
I wonder what it is. I'm looking at that beaver dam now.
Orchids or something. Man, oh man.
Yeah,
and they no longer use the anal duct of the muskrat for vanilla flavoring.
So you can be thankful for something, I guess.
Oh, that's disgusting. That makes me gag.
But I had to flick away.
My brain would not let me keep reading to find out what vanilla product it was used in. You would not be able to pay me to eat it again if I knew that they had put beaver poo in there.
It was used for ice cream.
Well, that's okay, because ice cream is extremely fattening
But they no longer use it.
There was a girl that I knew when, before I had the cottage, I had a camper, like a trailer at a trailer park, and there was this neighbor who came over one day, and there was three of us on the deck, and she had her little dog with her, and you're talking about the anal glands, and she was sitting there, and she had the dog was. She was picking at its butt, and I said, "What in the world are you doing? What are you doing?"
Oh man,
Mallory whatever those. Yeah. Okay, just to pause for a second. I can't even imagine what Sky thinks is happening over here. But say hi to Sky.
Hi, Sky.
Hi, Sky.
Well, I'm processing right now. I think I'm quite traumatized from what I've been hearing. And I'm just processing that all in right now, because I was here through the licking of the frogs and then on. And
yes.
Deb, I think that we might need to hang out one day. You sound quite interesting, wealth of knowledge. Although the thing with those types of things, you can never unhear them.
No, you can't. No, that's true.
Oh, but I have to tell you that this girl was sitting there with this dog on her lap and picking at its arse, and she was picking the will knots off the poop off of his. Stop it! Like, and she just had them and then set them down, and she never washed her hands or anything. And I thought, off my pool.
Well, at least she didn't
ruin that's one weird person. What Deb is describing is like a conspiracy of coffee bean poop and vanilla extract. I'm worrying with processing here. Thank you, Deb. I'm going to be thinking about that going to bed.
You can't even imagine how expensive it is. It's like some kind of delicacy. Well,
God.
It can be all the delicacy you want. I'll keep my folders because I don't want any poop coffee.
Now, Deb, do you just, like, in general conversation, like when you're out with, like, random people that you know, do you just, start talking, hey, you know.
You never know what something I say or hear would trigger in my brain, and my brain is so packed with delightful, albeit useless information, that, you know, I just had to share.
Oh, my goodness.
So, after all of that, I'm not quite sure where to start, but I think what we do, Deb, is... Are you able to read Sweet Song for us?
I am. And Sky, did you bring a poem, or did you just call to say hello?
I don't have any poems about frogs.
Do you have an amphibian poem, Sky?
Amphibian poem.
I mean, you know, it may not be about frogs. Oh, well, that's a shame. Well, I mean, I was just thinking, you know, family of animals, salamanders, you know, something like that. Anyway, Deb, could you do us a favor and read Sweet's poem, which is a Mad Hatter in Pink?
Aha, yes, I will. Did I put it on the board?
Yes, you have.
Okay. Yeah, this is the last one, right? Because I know you have, I mean, it's Easter down there.
I've got one more.
I erased everything but that one, too. Okay, let's read A Mad Hatter in Pink by Sweet Pea. Here we go. A bowler, a babushka, the derby, and a tiara sat atop a pillbox. Never to teetered with magical gravity. They nestled in her red locks. She listened to frogs on walks. Caught purple rain on her tongue. She skips past the weeping willow tree where the swing once swung. She twirls with the clouds and listens for the rabbit and his clock's tick-tock. She's the maddest of hatters and wise woman of Wonderland matters. The handler of Cheshire Cat grins, which makes silly twins scatter. Secret keeper of a king's, who in her favorite queen's dress is red, plays with Jack of Spades in shade. Delightful secret kept unsaid. Punishment for the bloody queen who wishes all heads on a platter. Mushroom tea maker, she is famous for her infamous trivial facts. Dormouse and other accuse her of riddles. Confuse and distract to questions why crows have feet is silly, for they also have beaks. Sneak into Wonderland and listen to the goddess among geeks. Oops, Greeks, the maddest of hatters in pink. Don't squeal and try not to overreact. And boom.
Thank you, Deb. That was very cute. Lady A, did you want to say a few words about Sweet
Pea? I think that Sweet Pea is very creative in all that she writes and very entertaining as well. And I think that this is one of her classic poems for that. And I like, too, that she's incorporated the Mad Hatter and Wonderland, and in this piece as well. But I thought for her, it is inspiring how she is so creative with her writing, and visually it's always perfect too. That she's got excellent imagery in her pieces, and it's just a very entertaining poem. Did a great job on it.
Babushka.
Thank you, Lady A. What did you think, Hatter? What were your thoughts on Sweet's piece?
I loved how it started, the bowl of a babushka. Give me the tears, sad, pop a pillbox. It's just a scrambled enough to be Wonderland material.
Yep.
Yeah, the rabbits and his clocks tick-tock. Just an inventive way of in rhyme.
Notice, Hatter, that when she writes for your Wonderland collection, she does often use a lot of rhyme, and Sweet's not an overly rhyming poet, so it's all in tribute to you. And I was just noticing her next one will be a dozen Wonderland poems.
Wow.
Ouch. Jesus, that's dedication.
She loves writing for you, Hatter.
There you go. So, Deb, did you want to say some words on the poem that you read, by Sweet?
Well, just that I was honored to get to read it for her, and I can't believe it. This all started, I sent her a picture of a girl popping out of a rabbit hole, licking the blood off of her fingers, having just eaten the rabbit. And I said, do you think you can do something with this? And after that, she got hooked. And if she sees, like, you know, the female hatter, she runs with it. Any chance to write, to add to the hatter collection in an effort to make you smile, Mr. Hatman, she's all over it. But the poem is cool, full of freaky stuff, just like Alice in Wonderland. And she listens to frogs on walks, caught purple rain on her tongue. So she put a few different aspects in there to make you go, but my favorite part was the handler of Cheshire cat grins, which makes silly twins scatter, and you picture Tweedledee and Tweedledum being afraid of the kitty and running. So, you know, only sweet. She's a rock star.
Very cool.
Yes.
Very cool.
Now, did I
hear? Yes, Sky.
Wait.
Did I hear Sky? Did I? Yes, Sky.
I have to be really selfish right now. And
okay.
This poem was written for my gender bender show. So he kind of wrote it for me, too. So I thought it. I'm sorry?
Very true.
So I did originally, I gave her a different picture, and then I found this one, and I know how much she does love to write for the Mad Hatter and for Hatter. And for the longest time, I would save the Hatter poem, the Hatter pictures for Hatter, but then I started to Sweet. So I thought she did such a wonderful job with this, and bringing in all aspects of the storytelling. And again, yes, for the rhyme, the long line rhyme is brilliant. My favorite part was the end. I really loved the mushroom tea maker. She was famous for the infamous Trivial Facts. Dormouse, another accuser of riddles that confuse and distract. I thought it was wonderful. And the part where she talks about goddess among Greeks, I told her earlier tonight that it kind of reminded me of her show, and maybe giving a little bit of homage to herself too, like saying when it's all Greek to me, and having a little ownership there, and having a little wordplay with that. Well, at least that's what it reminded me of. And that's not what she meant, but it reminded me of her as well. So spinning herself into it on a more a personal level with her show. So I thought it was pretty cool. Really, really well done.
Awesome sauce. Do you have a show to push, Guy?
The next time I'm on is next Saturday at 8 p.m. I'm starting my Lord of the Rings. I'm gonna have about six shows, so it's in-house only, no contest, and you have to put up your own links. Now, I do have like a lot of reading insights you are able to, but it is the links will not be transferred over. They are not in there are other prompts over there, so you'll have to actually look at the topic list. It could be a bit of a smaller group because I'm looking to play some of that wonderful bardic music that they have in the books and the audiobooks and fan-made videos. So it's going to be cool. So we're going to be taking the journey for about 6 weeks. So starting
cool.
Taking it off.
Well, as long as there are quotes, I'm good to go.
Oh, like, there's always quotes.
Yeah, yeah. Well, then we're set. And tomorrow is Hatter Music with the last of the series on Led Zeppelin. So now we can just have AP read us out, and he can get back to his Easter Bilby.
Well, we can get back to the Easter Bilby's dead. I'm being a little bit cautious about how much Bilby I'm going into this season, but it's certainly a lot better than some months ago, I have to say, where I managed to put myself into hospital, and in doing so, I didn't have access to my right hand. It was stitched into the machine behind me so that they could see what I was doing, and so I had to write with my left hand. And so, from intensive care, this is me writing a few months ago. It goes a bit like this. The riff of a flute insists, the fondant of many swamp bounds, a clatter within fingers off a firm keyboard does resound. On conversation's mist shrouds the cloud of roost drowned, a spatter here lingers, a faint as xylophone dances crowned. Deeply an oboe kissed firmly upon tadpole's splash hound, batter eclectic stingers into those held rhythms drowned. frogs or loop because upon the ears of those lying down, cadence is lost to blinkers in this jazz band of water round. Ed Pop.
Get the band back together, man.
Not fun, really, Tatter. I thought it was kind of fun. But I was trying madly to recruit the nurse at the end of my bed the first night, because apparently they were a songwriter, but it just didn't work out, so obviously wasn't well enough. But it was different. First and only ever poem written with my left hand.
Yeah.
And I have to add that being that case that you were using your left hand, it was the only time that you were really and truly in your right mind.
There you go. Thank you very much, Lady A. Thank you for sharing that. Probably right.
I was going to say I'd bet money that it was the first time the nurses saw somebody sewed in one area and doing poetry in their intensive care. So, all kinds of firsts there.
No, there were firsts everywhere. Yes, I remembered I recited a poem in the mobile intensive care ambulance, actually. So,
I have notes.
There was poetry all around, really. Anyway,
I bet you if they didn't use anesthesia in an operating room when you were there, you'd be reciting poetry to the surgeon.
Exactly.
Since we've known each other, you have got out of the rest stop and sat on a boulder. You've sang from hotel rooms. You've sang from stairwells, roadside, airports.
The moth.
Yeah, airports. Yes.
From dialysis. You are the most well-rounded poet that I know.
Taxis. Gun taxis.
I remember the moth. Was the moth in the stairway in the rain?
And if I'm fairly sure that if you were allowed to read from Mile High, you would. While you were circling the globe.
Well, I have actually done comments on poems and stuff from a mile high. I haven't rang the show just because there's a lot of engine noise, which tends to make it difficult to recite. But apart from that, you're probably right. So, that's really it, Deb. I did say to Hatter that I thought we'd come up about half an hour short, and as it's turned out, I think we're almost exactly right. So. But we won't. I suspect we'll have more poems for lightning. I think lightning is a fine topic, and I'd be surprised if we don't get a lot of poems for lightning.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to writing for that one. And in case anybody doesn't know what a bilby is, I put a really cute one on the board.
Thank you very
much,
Deb.
Happy
Easter. Yes. So, thank you for those of you who. Who don't know their marsupials from their other things, then there is a bilby, and they're kind of fun. We don't like rabbits. And that way we can, fund bilby shelters and stuff. So anyways, Hannah, we should do some thanks. Thanks to Lady A, thanks to Deb, thanks to Sweet,
yeah.
Thanks to Sky, thanks to Gerald for putting a poem on the board. Thank you to Deb for doing the collab. Thank you to everybody for being there with us for the wonderful world of frogs. And we will be there next week for the even more wonderful world of lightning, Hatter. So we will be getting our lightning poems ready to those people who are doing the challenge where you are writing a poem every day of National Poetry Month. All the best. I'm joining with you, and so I am doing a poem every day and posting it, and had some fun with it already in terms of some different poems. So all the best for those people doing that, and we will be back for lightning next week. I think I might go out with Brass and Pocket Tenders and Chrissy Hynde, just because it's a great song and it has nothing to do with frogs. That's all we've got. Adam, did you want to say goodbye to anybody or thank anybody?
No, just to write here tomorrow is the John Bonham, the last of the Led Zeppelin series tributes. So you can listen in.
Brilliant.
Yep.
And Deb, I think we've got Birds on Monday. Is that right? Did I get that right, Deb? I think I got that right. Anyway, I might have got that right. So,
I'm sorry, it's Puppets. I didn't realize I was muted. So Monday is Puppets.
Oh.
Choose a puppet, choose
puppets.
A word bank,
yeah.
Choose a color,
yeah.
And show me what you got. And there's, oh, you know what? I don't think there was crayons. Or I think there are quotes. No, I'm wrong. I apologize. It's a four-parter. It's a special,
okay.
Bigger challenge this week. It is
choose
your puppet. Choose your word bank.
Yes.
Choose
yes.
Your quote.
Yes.
And choose. I'm looking to see if I had crayons there. I always have crayons. Yep, crayons. So those are the four choices.
Crayons.
Crayons, word
okay.
Bank, quote, and pictures, and
yes.
Combine it all
ooh.
Into one poem.
Okay, can I ask a question?
Yes.
May I ask a question, I suppose?
Yes.
This prompt Monday that's on the thing, it's lions, tigers, and bears.
That's, if you look, it says May.
Okay.
I have all my topic boards up from this Monday to Monday in May so far. So just pay attention to the date, and you won't have to sit on your poem for two whole weeks to wait to read it.
There you go.
Yes, but I'm really looking forward to reading it.
Well, I'm looking forward to hearing
well,
it. Now, let's jingle that brass in our pocket so AP can get back to Easter.
I'm going to brass.
Oh, sorry.
I'm going
okay.
To brass. So go back to chocolate. So bye, everybody, and we will see you
goodbye.
Next week.
Bye. Good night.
The world. See you later. Bye.
Got that in pocket. Got that all. I'm gonna use it. Intention.
Okie dokie. See you later, everybody. We're on next week for Lightning. And meanwhile, watch out, Bilbies. Here I come. Have fun, everybody. Bye.